Welcome to the Emmaus Fellowship Teaching Podcast. We trust you find this encouraging. Emmaus Fellowship is located at 205 North Pine Street in Woodland Park, Colorado. Our phone number is 719-687-6061. We trust you find this encouraging as you pour over God's Word with us.
You gave me a voice and a song, taught me how to sing. Brothers and sisters, gave me a family.
Well, we've just been celebrating Christmas, you know, and as Christmas is behind us now, we're looking into 2021. But before we leave the Christmas season altogether, I want to pause and I want to reflect and really meditate on a question that Mary asked. She asked this in Luke 1:34. How can this be? She asked the angel, since I am a virgin. Now, talking about the virgin birth, it jumps us immediately into the mystery of it. You know what I mean? And if you were to ask me if I believe that a virgin gave birth to a child because the Holy Spirit impregnated her with the seed of God, I would say, yes, I'm believing this. And this holiday season, you know, as my family has gathered together, we've been reading this this Advent book. It's by it's by Scott Erickson. That's right. And he wrote this book, and it's entitled "Honest Advent." And in that, he points out that the entire story of Christ, really at the heart of it, is a mystery. And there's some paradoxes, you know, like these things that seem kind of contradictory that hold the same space, that kind of meet together, and they can be puzzling for us. And one of those paradoxes, of course, is that Jesus is fully God and fully human. And these two seemingly contradictory truths exist in the same time and space, not only at his birth, but also throughout his entire life. And continues, I still believe, honestly, that Jesus is a man, and he is ascended into heaven, and he is God, fully. And so there's this mystery at the birth of Christ where the finite and the infinite, they wove together salvation in the belly of this young woman, this young Middle Eastern girl. And so while I am believing in the virgin birth, I also believe that we can connect with something of the mystery here whenever we stand at the threshold of God's plan, and whenever we're faced with unbelief, whenever we're asking those big questions, like questions like, how can God expect something of me that I've never known before? How can I believe that God would use me in a way, or do for me in a way, or restore for me in a way, empower me in a way that I have no history of, and there seems to be no provision for? I mean, this is where the virgin birth and Mary's question of how can this be since I'm a virgin, this is where it converges for us, because we find ourselves kind of like in this place of paradox. Like, how is it that I'm to have faith for the future as I look forward, anticipating God doing things in my life that may be unprecedented? I'm going to use that word since we've been using it all year, but let's turn it around a little bit and let's imagine that what God has for you is unprecedented. All right? So one of the paradoxes that we have throughout our life in walking with Jesus, it has to do with transformation. One truth is that you and I have agency to make decisions to change and to transform parts of our life that we want to see change. Like, as we wish, we can make changes, like the choice to do sit-ups and the choice not to eat a lot of cookies. That's going to transform my abdominal region, okay? Gratitude and thankfulness, that's going to transform my perspectives on pretty much every situation that I find myself in, right? And so while I have agency to make those kind of choices that bring change, that bring some transformation to my life, the other truth about transformation is like the virgin birth, in the way that you're not really in charge of it, you know? It's less about you mustering up the strength to accomplish something and more about simply saying yes. You know, it's what did Mary say? Yes, do it unto me as you will or you wish. So it begins quietly and deeply within us, this transformation, this life that God is birthing in us. So this divine inception in the deepest place, that's really where your truest self is birthed, right? And so the ability to experience change and newness is a willingness to live in the middle of that mystery. It's what Scott Erickson would call the middle mystery, right? And living in the middle mystery of this, and to trust that while you do have decisions to make, there's also this power of God that is at work within you, and you simply yield into it. So that being said, I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of the season that we find ourselves transitioning out of 2020 and into 2021. I got a Christmas card from a friend and it said, Happy Holidays. And then in parentheses, it says, AKA or otherwise known as, see you later, 2020. You know, like good riddance. You know, this has been quite a year for us. And that being said, God has done a lot of amazing things in the middle of it. He's been able to birth some things or bring inception to some transformation in us that we want to really grab hold of, okay? And so I want to read Isaiah 43, 18 and 19. It says this, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland." Now, I really love that passage when it's held in the right context, okay? I love it when it's referring to, regardless of what your past has been, God can do amazingly new things, fresh things. He can bring newness, even in the place of wilderness and even in the place of wastelands. God can bring streams of living water into your life. And so this encouragement is to perceive it and to be attentive to what God is doing, even if you find yourself in a wilderness or find yourself in a wasteland, find yourself in 2020 and just swirling and wondering what the heck's going on. There are things that God's doing and we can perceive it. And then there's this encouragement that I think can be taken out of context if we're not careful. And that is the first part of this in verse 18, where it says, "Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past." Do not dwell on the past. Man, I've heard that a few times in the counseling work that I do when people are a bit resistant to go into those painful places. And so that would be the part of the verse where I would say, hold up now. I'm not quite sure that's what Jesus is referring to when he says, do not dwell on the past. I think there's a right way and a right place for us to revisit places in our journey that have brought brokenness or have brought false beliefs or have brought emotional upheavals. And it's okay for us to journey into those places with Jesus. But we don't live in those places. And that's, I think, the thing that this is encouraging us to do is to not live there, not make it our permanent residence, but be okay with the idea that while things have been the way they are, there's a newness that is being birthed in us that moves us into a place of hope moving forward. And so that being said, it's a bit of a paradox because, of course, the encouragement is to, you know, don't be tied to the former things. Don't dwell in that place of your past. Don't rely on the old glory. But recognize that God is doing a new thing and be encouraged to perceive it. And this paradox then is like moving us, like, one truth on one hand is there's newness and there's stuff that's brand new that God wants to do. And then we tie that in with this, the other side of it, which is Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. This is Jeremiah 6:16. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient ways or the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. You will find rest for your souls. So there it is. It's kind of like, do I look for the ancient paths or do I forget the former things? Again, holding that paradox in the same, what seems to be kind of contradictory truths in the same place and time. My interpretation of that, and you can certainly have your own interpretation of this as the Holy Spirit brings to you, but it would be this, that while God is doing things fresh and new moving forward in the future, there are ways, the ancient ways of God that are consistent. I believe that God is, what's the word I'm looking for? Immutable. That he does not mutate. That the God of yesterday, the God of today, and the God of tomorrow are one and the same. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And this God that we worship, this God that we're discovering, this God that we're learning what he's like, he's consistent. And his ways are consistent. So while the expression of what he is doing is subject to a lot of change, a lot of newness, unprecedented, as it were, things that God wants to do for us and with us and in our midst, there is an ancient and consistent path that we are to walk in. And I believe it's found in the scripture. I believe it's found in the ancient ways of God. So those things are like the values that fuel us forward into the new expressions. The values are the same. The things that are consistent about God remain the same, no matter how it's expressed in its variety of ways, contextualized in our community, contextualized in our life, contextualized in our history on the planet, contextualized in the history of God and what he is unfolding for us. So that being said, we can do both. We can perceive the new things that God is doing without dwelling on the past, which means, you know, those things that are subject to upgrades in our life. We don't want to live in the old ways. We want to live in the upgraded new ways of God, knowing that there are ancient paths that motivate those new ways and inform those new ways as they're expressed in our life. So that being said, here we are. We're standing at the threshold of 2021, and we have an inventory to make. And this inventory, I think, is a really good one. The inventory basically sounds something like this. God, if I were to take my last year, and if I were to like unearth the major things of my last year and put them out on a table like an archaeological like exploration, like I just did this archaeological dig and I placed all this stuff out here on this table. What are the things that you want me to take with me into 2021? And what are the things that you want me to leave at the table? All right. I learned this from Doug Fike when we were in Virginia. Tiffany and I were on a sabbatical. It was about 12 years ago. And this destiny discovery quest that we were on really made room for us to explore, okay, you've had all of this history. You don't want to dwell there, but you can still take with you the things that are from the ancient like path, like the ancient good things. And those would be the things of God. So what is God doing? What has God done in this year for you? And that's going to be part of our exploration here this morning as we move into your prompts. We're going to be asking the Father to highlight some things for you related to your transition from 2020 into 2021. Forgetting the former things, looking into the future with some hope and anticipation that he's doing new things, like bringing springs in the wasteland, And then asking him, like, what is it you want me to carry with me into this future? And what is it you want me to leave behind? Just leave at the table. So we'll get to that in a few minutes. But just let's kind of reorient ourselves to the original meditation here. And it was, again, Mary's question. How can this be, she asked the angel, since I am a virgin? And the answer that Mary received from the angel is the answer that you and I are to receive here this morning. Whenever we're looking into our future, whenever we're looking into what God is asking of us or inviting us into, the change that is stirring in us, the motivations towards new things, all of that needs to really hear this, all right? Let our doubts hear this. This is what the angel said. Nothing, absolutely nothing, is impossible with God. That's the answer. And so as you experience those nudges towards change, you know, newness of life, which is what we're all desiring, right? The work of the Spirit that began in Mary is the work of the Spirit that is wanting to do the same sort of thing in our own souls, all right? Bringing newness and inception of God's plans and purposes. And let's have that attitude of, be it unto me, God, as you would have it. Yes. And remembering that nothing is impossible with God. So let's move now into a moment of reflection before I go into the prompts.
It's our joy to offer these podcasts. We sure hope you enjoyed it. If you have any questions, any prayer requests, feel free to drop us a line at emmausfellowship@icloud.com. If you're curious about ways you can be more deeply involved in this community, visit our website at emmausfellowship.org and be sure to like our Facebook page.